Praise God.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Fiani, for your leading. And we trust that God will continue to bless you in your effort as you continue to show your love to God's people. Good morning, saints.
Good morning, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. I am so glad to learn of the women's department having a victorious day yesterday. And I want to commend them in a very, very special way for that effort. I know it is the first time that they are engaged. They were engaged in this type of setting. And to God be the glory for the result.
Amen.
I would like also to extend my thanks to Pastor Dean and his family who have played a big part in all of this. And it just goes to show what unity in the body of Christ can do. And
amen.
I want to say, please, I am to know that working together with believers can produce a setting where God is glorified.
Praise God.
I know that there are other individuals, Sister Barbara, who have spent many time in getting the venue ready and all of that. All of these requires commendation. And I just want to say big thanks to the sisters, the women of our company, who have spearheaded that presentation, and to God be the glory. Thank you very much. I would also like to say a very, very special thanks to the pastors. I don't know how many pastors are listening right now, but I believe that there are pastors who will eventually listen to what I'm about to say over the website. So I just want to shout out all the pastors, because we are in October and it is considered to be Pastors Appreciation Month. And
yes,
thank all the pastors for the effort that they have made towards the body of Christ, serving God's people, some of whom serve in very, very difficult circumstances, but nonetheless have the mind to serve God. And I want to shout out all the pastors, regardless of where they are, and to say to them, God bless you, continue to serve, and your reward is not necessarily with man, but your reward is going to come from the Lord. Pastors Appreciation Month. Bless God. I'd like to exhort us a little bit here on Jude. And I want to start to yield to the continuous suggestion that I am preaching too long. So I will try to curtail as much as I can, because I know that sometimes I've gone over my time. All right, so I will try to condense what I'm about to say here, and I will leave part of it until next week, when we will come back again and pick up the last point that I would like to make on this subject. Jude chapter, well, of course, there's only one chapter in there. So Jude verse 1 tells us something here. And this is where the focus is really going to be. Serving as a servant. That is the topic we're going to use for today's presentation. Serving as a servant. Listen to what verse 1 says. I'll read it again. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I'd like us to notice what the introduction says. Because the topic is serving as a servant. Jude, according to St. Matthew 13:55-56, Jude is the brother of Jesus. They both came from the same womb. His name there is Judas, but here he's called Jude. And when you look on the introduction here, you could not tell that Jude is Jesus' brother in the flesh, because there's no mention of it. But he identifies himself with his brother James, which makes it easy for us to understand the connection. And when one looks on this, one cannot help but see where there is something else at work here. Because we need to remember that during Jesus' lifetime, Jude and Jesus grew up together in the same home. Jude did not really embrace Jesus as who Jesus is claimed to be until after the resurrection. It wasn't until after the resurrection that the whole revelation came to Jude as to who Jesus really is. And it is there that his life was changed as a servant of God. So I would like us to focus a little bit on what is being said here to Jude. Jude introduced himself to us in this passage here as a servant, of Jesus Christ. As a servant of Jesus Christ, not as a brother of Jesus. Now, we are living in a time where last name means a whole lot. There are many people in this country whose last name carry tremendous influence, carry tremendous weight and power. Just mention that you are connected to this name, this last name of individuals, you name it, you have all the access to whatever it is that you need. You can write a check on a newspaper, you can write something on a newspaper, and the bank will still honor it because of the last name. The last name means a whole lot to some people. But here, Jude refused to identify himself with who? Jesus, as somebody coming out of the same womb. Instead, he identified himself with his brother James. Because when you look at it, Jude refused to take any glory connected to him as biological with Jesus. Instead, it focused all my interest on being a servant to Jesus. This is where he focused attention. He is so great. He is the Lord of glory. He is all this and much more. I refuse to be caught up in a biological relationship. Instead, I resort to be a servant of this man. And I'm wondering, church, what type of lesson this is conveying to us? What type of lesson is this conveying to us? I am not, Jude said, I am not going to use the biological relationship with Jesus in order to promote myself or anything. Instead, I am resorting to be a servant of this man. And so, we are looking on the topic, serving as a servant. Moses used the title servant. Joshua used the title servant. David used the title servant. The Apostle Paul used the title servant. Peter used the title servant. James used the title servant. Jude used the title servant. All showing their humble approach to working with the Lord. And I'm wondering today, church, if we in this month call the Pastors Appreciation Month, where a lot of attention is being placed on our leaders, our pastors, not only in this country, but all over. I am wondering if it is not time to really take a closer look as to how we serve. And there are two examples that I'm going to use today to make this point. But first of all, let's look on Jude again and see why he wrote this this book. And I believe the emphasis on it is in verse 4. If we can just slip down to verse 4, I trust that you have your Bibles with you. Verse 4 says, For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3, you remember what he said, we should earnestly contend. We should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The word contend and the word denying are two words that are used here that we should not let slip from us, because they are vital to the thought for today. So Jude wrote to the church and said that they should contend with the faith that was once delivered to the saints. What is it? What is the faith that we are talking about here? The faith that we are talking about is not just the fact that we believe, and it is by faith that we are saved, but he is talking about the compilation of the entire Word of God, which is the Bible. Which is the Bible. And if you read verse 4, you're going to find out that that is what he was referring to. Because it states there that they are ungodly men turned Lord of God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus. So we are not talking about just belief here. We are talking about the compilation of the entire scripture, which is the Bible. Jude is saying, look, they are those who crept in the church. In the church, he's referring to. In the church, they are men who crept in unaware, he said, unaware. You did not detect them at first, but eventually that is what happened. And my God, aren't we seeing that today in the church? And so he said, as a servant, I am committed to stand up against these ungodly men. How did he reach the place of them being ungodly? Because they stand in opposition to the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And he said, I am standing up here as a servant. I am protecting the God property. I am protecting the property of my master. I am protecting the property of my master when I'm calling out these unbelievers. And what is it that they did? There is one emphasis. The emphasis is placed on one thing here, as we can see in the book of Jude. And that is lasciviousness. That's the only thing that he identifies here. The sin of lasciviousness. And that means unbridled sex. Unbridled sex. Sexuality that comes in different form, that creeps into the church and want to be considered as the norm. Jude is saying here, as a servant of God, declaring the righteousness that is in this man Jesus, not even want to elevate himself to the place of saying he is my biological brother, but regard himself as a servant. I am protecting his property, which is the truth, which is the faith that is delivered to the saints.
Amen.
And I'm saying to the brothers or men folks this morning here in the church, I am saying to your brothers, we need to look on Jude. See where the brother is coming from. See what he's standing up for. And join him in the endeavor as we stand up against perversion inside the church as far as sexual misconduct is concerned. Is that just one form? Jude, see where these crept inside of the church. And the first thing that they set themselves out to do is to deny the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to that. If you can get Jesus out of the way, if you can get the Bible out of the way, then it opens up the lane for anything to be done immoral in the church. Denying the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
What an example here. And so, we're going to look on the first example in terms of being a servant of God and serving as a servant. Let us go over to Acts chapter 5, and I will try to read from verse 40. Acts chapter 5. All right. Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 40. And to him they agreed. Now, Peter and John were arrested because they healed somebody in the name of Jesus. And the Sanhedrin council thought that it should not be done. They don't recognize the name of Jesus. They don't think Jesus is who we say he was. And therefore, for Peter and John to claim that this man was healed in the name of Jesus, they pushed back heavily on it. And so they arrested John and Peter. Now, the word said here, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, and to them they agree. And to him they agree. Somebody stood up and said that, look, you might be punishing these men at your own peril. And after he was finished speaking, they agree with him. So they are going to do the following thing. And to him they agree. And when they had called the apostles, meaning John and Peter, the apostles, and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. After they have received their beating, they were let go. But a parting instruction is that never you speak again in the name of Jesus. In other words, that's the threat. Verse 41 says, and they depart, meaning Peter and John, and they depart from the presence of the council And listen to this carefully, friends. Rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I read it again. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And this is very important, last verse. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In other words, they disregard the instruction that they should not preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And when they were let go, they went abroad doing the very same thing. Why? Because they considered themselves servants of God to obey the voice and teaching of their master. Jude is saying to us here, I have committed myself as a servant to stand up, to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I am standing up for sexual perversion inside of the church. Whether it is fornication, whether it is adultery, whether it is homosexual, whether it is transgenderism, regardless of, because we are living in a highly sexual charged environment right now as a church. Everything seems to be going on and it appears to be normal, but not with the word of God. Jude is exhorting all of us to stand up and be counted for righteousness. And so, when you look on what Peter experienced here, he counted the beating, he counted the torture, a badge of honor to wear for the Lord Jesus. Not only him, but John as well. Counted a badge of honor as servants, standing up for truth. When it creeps inside of the church, unaware. There are many churches today that are split because of sexual immorality. Read it, Google it yourself. Even in Georgia, the state of Georgia, how many churches are split because of homosexual conduct inside the church. Jude saw this coming a long time. And he said that we should contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because there are many creeping to the church unaware. And it was not until when they take root in the church that some of these things are discovered. And he considered himself a servant of the Lord, standing up for truth in this time. But we continue with Peter here as the first example that we're using. Remember now, Peter described himself as a servant of God. We need to remember that. I read verse I read Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. These are some real strong words from Peter writing to the elders. Read it when you get the chance. 1 Peter chapter 5. But as a servant, he described himself as a servant. Peter described himself as a servant. Here is where he described himself as a servant. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is what he described himself as. First a servant and then apostle. Jude discover the humbleness that comes with the office in regards to who the chief shepherd is. And would not even as much as identifying himself biologically with Jesus, but resort to be called a servant of Jesus. Peter regards himself as a servant of Jesus. And out of the mind and the heart of a servant, he said what he has set forth here in chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm saying to the church this morning, we are all servants before God. We are all servants before God. So we need to serve as servants. We need to serve as servants. We are serving God and God's people. Let us look at an example. The other example is to be found in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and I read it. I read from verse 5 to verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 5 to verse 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Last verse, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Example number 2 of serving as a servant. Here we have before us none other than Jesus. And the word said, he thought it not robbery. He was not committing, he would not be committing a crime if he said that he was God. Because so he is. So he was. The word said, his name shall be called, he shall be called the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Priests, the Mighty God. That's what the word says. But he backed away from that initial title And the word said he took upon him. He took upon him the form of our servant. I like verse 7 of Philippians chapter 2. Because here's what verse 7, here's a section that I like of it. Verse, but made himself of no reputation, made himself. He made himself. Listen to that, church. Jesus made himself of no reputation, of a servant. He made himself. He humbled himself to that place. Nobody can dispute that Jesus was God as he walked among men. But he did not go around elevating that title. Instead, he declared himself to be a servant. He said he came not to be served, but he came to serve. A servant. And what we find is that the writing, Paul writing to the Philippians, he started out as we read here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? What mind here is Paul talking about? The mind of humility. The mind to serve. The mind to love God's people. The mind of submission. He subject himself to the Father. I do always those things that please him, he declares. Jude tried to make us all know here that it is not identifying itself biologically with Jesus, but identifying himself as a servant serving under him. And I believe right through the length and breadth of this country, right through the length and breadth of this country and the world in general, this is the approach that God's servants need to take. That Jesus made himself of no reputation. Deliberate on Jesus' part to condescend to this position. Deliberate on Jude's part to take this approach in recognition of the greatness of who Jesus is. Now, the people he served are God's people. They are God's heritage. And I'd like to make this final point here. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, since I seem to get my note mixed up here, John 13, let's go to John 13, All right. Okay, John 13. Listen to what Jesus did here. And we're talking about Jesus now as the one who made himself of no reputation. Verse 4 tells us of John 13, he raised from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. That is what he said in verse 4. Then his intention, now, let me say this to us, his intention for doing all of that was to continue a practice that was common among the then church. And he wanted to demonstrate something here. And so he took this towel and put it around his waist. Then verse 5 said, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he girded, and came into Simon Peter, and coming to Simon Peter, Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but shall know hereafter. Now listen to what Peter said. Listen to what the same Peter again. The same Peter again. It is a mindset. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, church. Let this mind be in you, brother. You have not called to be a deacon, an elder, a pastor, a bishop, an evangelist, an apostle. You have not called to be none of those. But you are a servant. You are a servant in the body of Christ. It is a mindset of humility that is displayed, that runs right across from deacon to apostle to include all church members. A mindset of humility that is in the church. So listen to what Peter said here when Jesus came to him. All of them lying up there with their feet hanging down. Jesus with a towel and a basin. He came to Peter, and when he reaches Peter, this is what Peter said. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Why did Peter say that? Peter saw the difference between him and Jesus. Peter realized that he and Jesus should not be sharing the same space. You will remember when Jesus went to minister to them, they were on the lake. That is Luke chapter 4, I think. And when Jesus told Peter that he should launch out in the deep for a catch, Peter told him that, look, we have been out there all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, we will go. When they eventually caught fishes to the extent that Peter's boat could not hold the amount of fish, the other partners' boats were overfilled to the extent that they started to sink. Peter looked on Jesus and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This same Peter here, with you and I, Lord, does not belong in the same space. And when Jesus came to him now, later on, to wash his feet, he said, you will not wash my feet. He is viewing Jesus on the level of his tremendous superiority to him. It is a mindset of seeing Jesus high and lifted up. And his glory fills the temple. Greater than him, Peter. Greater than him, Jude. And Jude will not call him his biological brother. And Peter would not entertain Jesus washing his feet. But Jesus made himself of no repetition. For the very purpose of serving as a servant. So Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So here is where Peter cannot afford, as much as he saw Jesus in this light, he can't afford to lose relationship with him. So Peter answered in verse 9 and said, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my, what? Hands and my, Jesus never said that he was going to wash his head. Jesus never mentioned nothing about washing Peter's head. But Peter said, not only my feet, Lord, I want you to wash. I want you to wash my hands, and I want you to wash my head also. I cannot afford to lose the relationship between you and I. As much as I see you in the light that I'm seeing you, I must be in relationship with you. And we jump over to 13. Listen to what he said here in 13. Jesus speaking here at the same place. You call me Master and Lord. And he said, well, for so am I. Jesus said, yes, you rightfully said, I am Lord. I am Master. That is true of me. If I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is what? Not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If he know these things, happy are ye if he do them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, our example, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And he came with a towel, washing the disciples' feet, showing he's identifying himself with them. Jude said, look, I am a servant. I am not using my biological power. I am using the servanthood to describe who I am in the body of Christ. And I believe today every pastor, every bishop, every evangelist, every apostle, every prophet in the body of Christ to take a cue from Jude and serve as a servant to God's heritage. I'm glad for the people of God, and I'm glad to know that at the end of every day, at the end of each service, there is one person that's supposed to be glorified, and his name is Jesus. His name is, it is Jesus who stretched out. It is Jesus whose blood was shed. Every time we have communion, the thing came home to me, the thing keep coming home to me in such a way that I can't even explain. Because my mind goes back to Calvary. And I can see Jesus helplessly stretched out there on two pieces of plank with blood dripping down from his hands, his side, his head, his feet. And he could not even as much as scratch his face in the heat of the sun because his hands were fixed to a piece of plank. It is to him that we submit ourselves. It is to him that we give glory. It is to him that we worship. It is to him that we praise. Peter, in his discourse, 1 Peter chapter 5, ask, who make us Lord over God's heritage? It is a matter of him humbling himself. He considered himself a servant first, and then apostle afterwards. Paul described himself as a servant, Romans 1:1, as he continued to serve God's people. This is not confined to men, the men's department. We find our sisters are equally involved. Our sisters are servants. You might not necessarily see the word servant beside a sister's name. But what you're going to see is a name, meaning servant. A name. Three times, Anna. Use the word unmaiden in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Two times Mary used the word unmaiden in Luke chapter 1. Servant before God. All of our sisters are servants before God. Serving the body, serving God's people. I come back to this thought. Jesus made. Jesus deliberately made himself. Of no repetition, which include being a servant, so that he might serve on that level. Can we do the same thing as servants of God? Jude, when he saw the sexual immorality inside of the church, he could not help but ask the believers everywhere to stand with him as a servant of God and fight against this. This is what we are seeing happening today in the churches. This is the biggest problem the church faces today. Sexual perversion. Creep in there and want to normalize it. And Jude is saying, as a servant, defending the property of Jesus, defending the writing, defending the Bible, defending the faith as a servant, he's inviting all of us to stand with him. And so I'm going to invite all of us here to stand with the servants of God who are proclaiming God's word regardless of where they are and contend for this faith that is was once delivered to the saints. Shall we pray? Father, we just bless your name. The more we find out about you, is the more we discover that we have not received anything yet. Your ways are past finding out. We thank you for the mind that you have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, your word declares to us. We thank you that that mind has transferred to your servants by way of the Holy Ghost, teaching us how to deal with these matters that we confront from time to time. Lord, I thank you that we have seen in your word where your servant Peter and others have received flogging, humiliation, and all the rest of it, and they were rejoicing that they were found worthy to suffer shame for your name. God got to be a mind come from you. That mind which made himself of no repetition. And so we pray to the Lord, serving as servants, you will anoint our ministries so that we will take up the mantle that you have left behind. We will see you in the light as to how Jude saw you. And we will submit ourselves to you as we serve your people with true heart. Let the motivating factor in serving be love towards your people, not filthy lucre, as you describe in your word. Father, we pray for forgiveness of our shortcomings over many years. We pray that you will forgive us for things which were not done properly in regards to addressing your people. Because they are your people. We thank you that you have given us the chance to work along with them. And help us, Lord God, that we will display true servanthood as we continue to serve in the vineyard that you've called us into. God, we look to you today that your word will be more meaningful to all of us as we realize that we're all in this together. And you are our good shepherd. You are our overseer. You are our Lord and you are our master. And we all have to give account to you. It is you who died. It is you who glorified. And it is you who are Lord of lords and King of kings. We bless your name and we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.